Hey guys, so a couple days ago, I met up with Richard Branson. We did an amazing interview outside. I've always looked up to him as a businessman. I think he is brilliant. He's done so many things in his career that I'm just so impressed by, and he's just a legend. So I'm so excited to have this conversation with him and for you guys to listen.
This is Paris.
Thank you, Richard. I'm so excited to have you as one of my first guests on my new podcast.
Well, I'm very, very honored that we're having a chat.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And congratulations to your engagement.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Let's have a look. Wow. It's going to be a very heavy finger.
It is. Good problem to have. No. I really admire just all your philanthropic work and just what you do with helping the environment and the world, and it's really incredible.
And likewise, it's great to see you, you know, turning your attention to using your fame to try to get laws changed and get issues dealt with. And I think, you know, if we're lucky enough to be in that position, we should make the best of it. And it's a privilege to be in that in the position that I think you and I have found ourselves in.
Definitely, when you can just use your voice and your platform and help make a difference.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've done a lot of things in life that I'm proud of, but what I'm doing right now is what I'm most proud of, because it's really making a difference in the lives of children, and it's just so empowering.
Yeah. I mean, I have great respect for it, and great respect for you actually getting a law changed, which not many people can say in their lifetime, and the difference that will make to many, many children. So and I suspect, you know, we're going to get a lot more satisfaction from that than, you know, making another buck or two. Obviously having money can enable us to make a real difference in other people's lives, and that's what money should be for.
It's very true.
I'm going to have to tell your grandfather's story sometime.
Anyway. Yes, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to know your grandfather, Baron, and he always used to tell me, you know, when he was young, he was known for his father, Conrad, not for himself. And then as he got older, he was known for his grandchildren.
Yes.
And, you know, he just felt like a sandwich between the three of you. But he was, he loved you unreservedly and was so proud of you both. And what a delightful granddad you had.
Thank you. I know. I miss him so much. Incredible man. And like, I wouldn't be the businesswoman I am today if I had not just grown up watching him and just being such an inspiration and a mentor. And
just a lovely, down-to-earth,
really amazing
special person.
Man. Yeah. Yes. Very lucky. And I love that you're such a family man. It's just like, even seeing you at breakfast this morning, and then when Joan walks in, and you, like, your eyes light up, and just
we've been lucky. I mean, not everybody is fortunate with relationships. I think the fact that we have stayed together for 45 years, the fact that we, you know, do still love each other, you know, is given, you know, such strength for our children and for our grandchildren and for our friends, and. You know, relationships are worth fighting for. I mean, obviously, you know, there'll be many people watching this program that it hasn't worked out for, and hopefully they've overcome that and found somebody that they love. But we've been very lucky. We have the same group of friends. We've seen their children grow up, having that really helps sort of bind a family together.
What is your advice, since I'm about to get married, what is your advice for a long-lasting relationship?
Well, I think, first of all, you've got to choose your partner well. You've got to be best friends as well as lovers. There's got to be give and take. I just don't believe anything is worth having an argument over. You know, life's too short for arguments, and you know, if somebody feels strongly about something, back off, and if you've and vice versa, you know, try to do have the other person do the same. And then I think, you know, having this group of friends which will help, you know, help bind you together. I mean, obviously, if you're lucky enough to be able to have a family, you know, that binds you together, you know, more than anything else. Yeah, choosing a good dad or mum for your kids is very important. I think you seem to have done well there, as has he. And then you need an element of luck, and you know, you do need to fight for a relationship.
So, what gives you joy in life besides your family, obviously?
I think, yeah, being able to make a difference. With a you know, wonderful group of people. So you know, we've created a lot of organizations, both for profit and not for profit organizations. An organization is just a group of people. And you know, on the philanthropy side, we set up a whole lot of organizations to tackle things like, you know, conflict resolution issues, you know, climate issues, protection of the oceans, drug reform. And if, you know, when we have, you know, like you had last week, with protecting kids, when we have success from one of those things, it's, you know, it's the most satisfying thing ever. And you know, on the business side, when we're battling companies that are much bigger than us, like say British Airways, and you know, we fight and we can survive. That's very satisfying as well. But it's just a group of people, you know, highly motivated, believing in what they're doing, we've got just a wonderful, wonderful group of people throughout all the Virgin companies.
Amazing. So Carter told me he bought a ticket to go to space, the Virgin Galactic. That's exciting.
Very exciting. It's taken a long time. I mean, we embarked on this about 15 years ago. I thought maybe it would take 5 or 6 years. But rocket science is tough.
And, yes.
And, you know, we've had tears, we've had joy. We've now finally got to a stage where we've had 3 successful flights into space.
Amazing.
We've got a couple more test flights, and then I'm planning to go up this year. And then Carter will, I'm sure, go up soon after that,
yes.
As with a number of other people who signed up. And, you know, our aim is that, you know, one day to try to enable many people who are listening to this program, to go to space and get, you know, try to drive the price down. But it will take time because, you know, space is expensive. It's been one of our biggest challenges, but one of the most satisfying.
Incredible. I love that you do so many things, like from going to space to like music and just everything you do with your work for helping the world. It's just,
well, I think you,
really amazing.
I mean, the variety of what we do, you know, what we're both lucky enough to be able to do,
yes.
Is what makes life interesting, the variety of people we meet. And I noticed that you work incredibly hard,
yes.
Which I suspect it was in your upbringing. I think neither of us want to waste the very, very fortunate position we find ourselves in. You know, if you get yourself into a position where you really can make a big difference, you owe it to yourself and you owe it to other people to not waste that position. And life is that much more satisfying from it.
I agree. Life is short. You make the most out of it. I think we both do that all the time. Just excited for the world just to go back to normal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to what the new normal is going to be. You know, as a, you know, somebody that's in businesses that have been affected quite considerably by COVID, as like a lot of people listening to this program, but airlines and cruise ships and things like that, you know, will people fly as much as they did, I doubt it. I think there will be, you know, less flying, but there'll definitely be more people wanting to go on holiday, that's for sure. So,
definitely.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the next few months go.
Yes, it's been such a different year. I'm used to traveling over 250 days out of the year for the past like two decades. So,
well, I suspect you're the better for not putting your body quite through that kind of stress. And I suspect the same applies to myself. I mean, I also traveled about 50% of the year. And then the other 50% of the year was here recharging body, etc.
Yes.
But spending a bit more time in one place, I'm sure is better for one's mind and body.
Definitely.
This is Paris. This is Paris.
What is the best business advice you've ever received? Because I know that a lot of people listening are entrepreneurs and they want to learn from the legend.
I think one of the best bits of advice I ever received was from my mum and dad. So if I ever said ill about anybody, they would sit us in front of a mirror and for 10 minutes and tell us how badly it reflected on us. And I think as a business leader, it is critical that you never criticize people, that you're always looking for the best in people, that lots and lots of praise and there's no need for criticism. I think leaders need to be good listeners. I always have a notebook in my back pocket, and I'll get out and meet our staff, meet our customers, write ideas and suggestions down. And then very importantly, if a staff member says something, get back to them, explain either why it's a good idea or why you're not doing it. Make sure that they realize that they are being listened to, and thank them for their suggestions. I think any great leader doesn't need to hear themselves. They know what they think. They need to absorb what other people are thinking. I'm dyslexic, so I had to learn to delegate and be a good listener from a very young age, because I wasn't that great at a lot of things, and I think that actually helped me. It helped me learn the art of delegation and become a good listener.
I love that. And your mom was amazing. I had so much fun with her just talking at that dinner. She's like such a force.
Yeah. I mean, she was one of the casualties of COVID, but she'd lived a fantastic long life. She always said that, if you're parting, you need to go out on a high, and she definitely went out on a high, and to know when to leave. Not that she actually necessarily followed that in real life, but anyway, she knew when to leave. She left on a high. She was, she never stopped. I mean, we were always running to keep up with her. In the Second World War, she dressed up as a man in order to, be accepted in the as a glider pilot. And she got away with it for some months, and then she got caught in the end. She was rather an attractive young man.
Yes.
She had lots of great stories to tell. And then she wrote a wonderful book called Mum's the Word. So we all had to work hard to impress her and keep up with her.
I love that. Yeah, I really believe like when someone has like a mom like that, like anything is possible, and that's the type of kids that you make.
Agreed. No, I think we are our parents to a large extent, or our grandparents.
Mm-hmm. And also, you can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats his mother, and that's like one of the reasons I fell in love with Carter, because I just saw just how he was with his mother, and I was like, if a man is so kind with his mom like that, he's going to make an amazing father to children and an amazing husband. And
very sound advice. And I was just this morning talking about children that you know, fallen out with their parents. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's partly the parents' fault, maybe it's partly the child's fault, but we should not fall out with anybody. I think if we ever fall out with somebody, the best thing is forget that you think that you're in the right. You may be in the right, you may be in the wrong, but ring them up and you know, get them over for lunch and you know, reach out, be the one that befriends them again, because life is too short to have anybody from the past that you've fallen out with.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, especially in LA, where a lot of these people who I'm friends with, they don't even speak to their parents, or they don't have a relationship with their brother or sister. And I've never seen it any other way.
It's unhealthy for them.
It's weird.
You know, them, and it's unhealthy for both parties. And it's, you know, it's fundamentally selfish. It'll eat people up. How satisfying to, you know, forget that the other person, you think the other person is the reason for falling out with them. Just forget that and, you know, embrace each other. If somebody like, you know, Archbishop Tutu, who saw the way the white people oppressed the black people and killed, you know, and imprisoned a lot of black people. And then when he and Nelson Mandela took power in South Africa, instead of prosecuting and hanging or, you know, executing white people who'd committed sins, they set up the Truth and Reconciliation Courts, and they said, you know, if you've committed a crime against a black person, maybe murder, whatever it is, come and, you know, embrace the people, the family members, and let's heal. And that's what happened. And these courts cases went on for 4 or 5 years, and South Africa was reunited with itself, black and white, if those sorts of people can embrace each other after, you know, they maybe have lost a son or, you know, in the most horrible way, then everybody else should be able to do it.
Yeah, I agree. So you are a daredevil. What's the most exciting thing you've ever done?
I seem to have attempted to kill myself on many an occasion, because I just can't say no to wonderful challenges. So whether it's, you know, trying to beat the transatlantic fastest boat crossing and sinking, and being pulled out of the sea, fortunately, whether it's attempting to fly across the Atlantic or the Pacific or around the world in a hot air balloon and crashing in the sea and being rescued on numerous occasions. Anyway, we've had lots of wonderful adventures. I think I got the Guinness World Record for the most times rescued from the sea, 6 different occasions.
Wow.
It got lots of stories to tell the grandkids. And we had some magnificent adventures in the process, and just about it, you know, because nobody had done it before, about everything that could go wrong went wrong, somehow we came home to tell the tale.
Love it. Must be a very cool grandpa with all these stories.
they're just beginning to sort of my grandkids are only 5, and my son made a film called Don't Look Down, which was about our ballooning adventures, and they'd just seen a little bit of it, and my grandkids were watching it, and you know, sort of, is he going to live? And then they would keep looking around at me and realizing I'm alive. It has a happy ending, the story.
Yeah, I'm a daredevil too. I've been skydiving 6 times, and it's so much fun. My sister thinks I'm crazy, but I love it.
I take my hat off to you. I've also been skydiving, because if you're traveling at 35,000 feet in a hot air balloon, and if something goes wrong, if you jump out and you pull the parachute right away, you'll rip it off because the air is so thin. And I got the Wally of the Decade Award for my first skydiving jump, which was, I jumped out and I was coming down and took my hand to pull the cord. I was told to do this three times. And on the third time, I pulled the cord that actually got rid of the parachute, not the one that opened the parachute.
Oh, no.
And started falling. And the instructor who was following me managed to do a skydive and pull the reserve cord. But then, of course, I was made to get straight back in the plane and do another jump, which went okay. I don't know if you know the phrase Wally of the Decade, but I have got the Wally of the Decade award.
I like it.
did you go solo in the end or
no?
No. Yeah.
Because they said I needed to go like 50 times, uh-huh, and I just don't have time to like do it 50 times. Plus I'd be scared because that's what I'm nervous about. Like pulling the cord is like the scariest moment when it like pops and you just like kind of like jerk. So I just get really nervous at that part. So I can't imagine like me having the responsibility of doing that part.
Yeah, well, my dyslexia, I think, came into play there. But anyway, look, it's been great. Great, great having a chat.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Thank you so
Birthdays,
much.
Birthdays, engagements, not a bad couple of days.
Oh, my goodness.
and good luck with this series you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you so much for coming on This Is Paris. It really means a lot to me. I've always just admired and looked up to and respected you as
thank you.
A businessman and everything you do. And you're incredible.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Hey.
Loves it.
Thanks for listening to This Is Paris.
We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This Is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Follow Paris @Paris Hilton and follow Hunter March, host of E's Nightly Pop, @Hunter March.